We've all had fierce and formidable women in our lives who have shaped who we are now. The Tech and Learning's Honor Roll podcast is dedicated to celebrating women who have shaped the education landscape more than you can possibly imagine. Who better to host this conversation than Drs. Keisha Ray and Frances Gibson, two fierce and formidable women who have been driving innovation in the field of the education world for more than 30 years. Please welcome our hosts, Drs. Keisha Ray and Frances Gibson.
Welcome to episode number 4 of Tech and Learning's Honor Roll, a podcast that celebrates fierce and formidable women in education. I'm Keisha Ray.
And I'm Frances Gibson. And we are joyful that you could join us today. We have another fierce and formidable female joining. Together, we're going to traverse the landscape of what's happening in the LA Unified School District with board member and former board president, Monica Garcia. Monica Garcia proudly represents Board District 2 in the LA Unified School District. This is the second largest school district in the nation. With her bold action around Diplomas for All, board member Garcia has galvanized the LA Unified community to take aggressive action to reach 100% graduation. Seriously, 100% graduation. And break the cycle of poverty by ensuring that every child can read, write, think, and believe. Since her election to the board in June of 2006, a longstanding leader, Ms. Garcia and the educational justice movement has successfully championed school reform models that offer students smaller and more personalized settings. And these options give school sites the autonomy they need to prepare all students for college or career. To date, more than 250,000 students are now served in this growing portfolio of reform models, which includes single gender academies, partnership schools, in-district teacher-led academies called pilot schools that operate under a reformed labor contract, and charter schools. District-wide, Ms. Garcia led the campaign to pass over $7 billion, again, that's billion, school bond dollars for the largest new school construction program in the U.S. history. In addition, these funds created opportunities to leverage much-needed health and human services throughout the successful $50 million worth of wellness centers initiatives, something very important in this COVID environment. She has increased accountability by spearheading the development of school report cards, and she has led an aggressive effort to increase equity through a groundbreaking per pupil funding strategy that ensures dollars follow the students to school sites. Her focus on the needs of English learners, who make up over 25% of LA Unified student community, has yielded a deep shift in the district's instructional approach. Additionally, Ms. Garcia has authored school discipline policies and facilitated cross-jurisdictional partnerships that embrace our students' desire to learn and our educators' willingness to teach by implementing. The implementation of these restorative justice techniques has resulted in reduced suspension rates and increased learning time. This work has resulted in suspension rates falling to less than a tenth of a percent. Again, a tenth of a percent in 2016. Board member Garcia was elected to the school board in June of 2006, becoming the third Latina to serve the board in its 155-year history. She served an unprecedented 8 years as board president, a position to which she was elected by her fellow board members. Previously, Ms. Garcia served as an academic advisor in South Los Angeles at Fauché Learning Center and Edison Middle School during her 6-year tenure with Volunteers of America Educational Talent Search Program. Through her work as a guidance counselor, she solidified her belief that when adults offer support and opportunities, every child can learn. Immediately prior to joining the Board of Education, Ms. Garcia served as chief of staff to the LA Unified board member. Her efforts in that role helped lay the groundwork for the construction of 131 new schools. And in 2017, all 131 new schools have opened, with their doors adding over 125,000 new seats for students. Her work also led to the adoption of an A through G requirement that guarantees every student in the district access to college preparatory curriculum. Ms. Garcia was born and raised in the East Los Angeles community. She attends local schools, where she attended local schools and graduated from the University of California, Berkeley, with a BA degree in Chicana Studies and political science. She earned a master's degree in social work from the University of Southern California.
This is a great week to celebrate SheRoes, my friends, as we recognize to the White House the glass ceiling that has just been shattered by the amazing heels of Kamala Harris. And Monica is clearly one of our sheroes in education, breaking all kinds of glass ceilings with her heels. We're fortunate to explore our M's with Monica. Each week, we explore models of leadership together by asking our guests what they see in the mirror, in other words, reflections of themselves, who are their mentors. And with this in mind, we want to look at movements we should all be watching and getting ready for maverick moments.
And Keisha, don't forget, we also want to catch any edge babble, those weird phrases or some of the vocabulary we use in education. And I caught one while I was introducing the Honorable Miss Monica Garcia. She talked about A through G diplomas for all. Monica, can you tell us, how would you define that? What does that mean for our listeners?
So thank you for asking the question. You know, Diplomas for All, I think, is a wonderful just brand of the vision. Everybody reading and writing and getting to graduation. A through G means giving young people the choice upon graduation to pursue college or career. So in California, A through G are the course curriculum for the California State University or the UC, but really it's a belief that all children can achieve at high levels and that public schools can prepare students to achieve at high levels. So long time ago, when there were academic tracks, some kids got A through G and some kids did not. And that made a choice for them, you know, when they're 14 and 15 and maybe sometimes 13. So for us, A through G, diplomas for all, means equity, means access, and means putting the onus on the system to change what it offers for students in Los Angeles.
Beautiful.
Well, that's powerful. And it's an incredible vision, one I'm inspired to follow, to see the very many successful students achieving their dreams through public education in California. And I'm sure everyone now, all of our listeners, appreciate that phrase too. We'll see it crop up in all of the states over time. Now let's start with the first M, models. Monica, who are your role models and why?
You know, for me, I believe that the universe helps surround us all with visions of greatness. And for me, it was Manuel and Guillermina. And definitely my mother and father were those people who loved, worked, sacrificed, and lifted humanity in a way that set high expectations for me. So despite challenges along the way, that's not what I heard. I heard from them the belief in the possible. I heard from them the opportunity in front of me and the strength of overcoming whatever challenges life brought to us. So really, and you know, I remember my mother saying, I never put my kids in a playpen because I didn't want them to be limited by their reach. And I really thought, wow, that's kind of intense and deep, but my mom lived that. So both of my parents are Mexican immigrants and they met at a middle school in my district today. And I am grateful that LA Unified opened up doors for kids like my parents, and those kids are still in our system today. So for me, leadership is about embracing every opportunity in life. It's about calling on yourself to be your best self. And it's about loving, letting love be the strength and the most powerful energy around you. My mom and dad, God bless them, are 78 and or 79 and 80. And still today, they teach me about resilience and brilliance and love in action.
We feel that embrace, and it really just, it comes across in everything you do, the way you talk, the way you walk, the way you breathe. And as you think about your mentors, you mentioned that one of your role models is Oprah Winfrey. And she says this on mentorship. She says, a mentor is someone who allows you to see the hope, allows you to see the hope inside yourself. And so as you think about that, who are some mentors in this category for you?
You know, and Oprah is my virtual mentor because I just remember feeling invited into her circle. I remember meeting her at Jordan High School, and it was one of life's greatest moments. But mentors for me really are, I can think of two women that walked the walk, one of them in the education community as a teacher, a principal, a superintendent, and one of them as a public servant inside of political circles. And both of these women kind of taught me to look ahead and around the corner. They also really challenged me not to give in and give up. And so I appreciate the mentors that help you see your strength, especially in those moments of real doubt. For me, I've been lucky to be surrounded by a bunch of peer mentors, which are my comadres. I have eight godchildren, but all of these women that are pushing themselves to be the first generation college goer, to try to undo the limitations of whatever class, race, gender, you know, we live in, but really putting together for themselves new career opportunities and looking to remove obstacles for their children, right? And you know, I have to say out loud, just mentors make it possible to just keep moving forward. And I always tell myself, I give myself an out. Everyone has done pieces of the work I have to do. So I tell myself it is not new. I just have to look for those people who have lifted the next level of learning. And, you know, I really appreciate, for me, Robin Kramer and Maria Casillas are trusted, truthful, and challenging women who have been willing to help me see a little bit of their life and have been willing to hear my life and my struggle and help me do work.
And you know what I bet? I bet you are a mentor to many, many, many women too. So let's move to a little self-reflection. When did you look in the mirror and know that you were a leader?
You know, that's a great question. And I'm the second of five children. And so there was always expectation and work to do. But I think one of those moments came in seventh grade. I got elected to, you know, student body school president. And we went to one of those leadership camps for a weekend, and we sold pan dulce or sweet bread on the side of the church. And we sent ourselves to camp, but they talked to people, to all the young people in the, on that weekend, they really made us think hard about what are you trying to do? My grandfather used to say, who are you, right? ¿Quién eres? He would say to all of us. But I think that leadership is available to everyone, right? And we pick up pieces of that along the way. But I remember that seventh grade experience being in the company of people that were universally looked at as, you are the leaders of your class. You are the leaders of your generation. You are the leaders. So that brand really came home with me, right? And I thought, We're going to sell popcorn, and we're going to get people involved, and we're going to, you know, tell our teachers what the students need to hear. But it was about building the longer us or the bigger us. And from that weekend, I remember people tend to support what they themselves create. And it has always been part of my leadership to understand that I am in a community of leaders. And our role as leaders is to include more people in lifting that possibility, right? And so I just welcome the notion that we could learn different skills, but that leadership of caring for people and being interested in what is better for yourself and others, that is in all of us.
In that bigger us, you have always been unapologetic about what they call love-soaked leadership. And as you think about that love-soaked leadership, put the lens of what is it that you see that women are doing specifically in this world and how they're changing that way?
You know, I love that question. And I have three sisters and just a lot of models inside my family, my mom, my grandma, my aunt, my godmother, people who just were willing to figure it out and at all costs serve those around them. I think women have come into the public sector in a more powerful way because it is collaboration and cooperation, not just competition. Right. So women are and have been problem solvers. Women are resourceful and focused on what are we trying to solve and what is around me to make that possible. So you could think about whether it's the cooking that folks do and all the pieces of that. I mean, we've all seen Iron Chef, or if it's really helping a human soul unpack itself so it could keep moving forward. I see, I mean, and let's understand, every level of LA Unified has female leadership today. I think gender balance in our school district is something that I'm very proud of. It's not equally across every department, but it's coming. And from transportation to technology to finance, it is coming. Education has always been very, this. It is one of those fields where lots of women in it, but that top spot has been difficult to come to. So I love seeing more women give voice to their power. I love seeing more women recruit other women. And I got to tell you, in LA Unified, where we are working hard to close the digital divide, and girls are coding and girls are part of, this year we have a female student board member. But the trends of leadership is that women are more inclusive. Women can give second scoops. It's not one and done. Right? It is this process of learning and leading that is in a more public way. And it is, I think, with a focus on building individual resources for a collective end.
Wow, that's beautiful. And you said something, you said, speaking of women, you said women come into the public sector in powerful ways. And I'm wondering, are there any mavericks, anyone out there that we should be watching, women who are disturbing the system? Of course, I mentioned one at the very beginning, but there's a lot of other ones, I'm sure, that are coming up. Who are you watching?
So I have to tell you, I'm watching my 9-year-old niece who approaches the world without the limitations that other women have experienced. I'm watching, again, the school board member who just board meeting, she's like, may I speak? Right? Like they know they have a place. They know that their voice matters. They have something to do. I actually have looked at teachers and principals, and now we have female superintendents are still an emerging class. But I see our latest superintendent coming in, not waiting for permission and not being waiting to be called on. Right? Owning the agenda is something that is very, very powerful. And I have to tell you, I think that is part of the work the women have to do. So the mavericks among us are the ones who have decided, I must lean in and take action, because whatever I'm part of that is not serving people well needs to be disrupted. And that is, I welcome disruption on multiple levels, because too many people are left behind, right? And so I give myself permission, where's the bar and how have the boys done? And hey, if we need to change it and move it, then by all means, there's an opportunity to learn and lead. And if there is an error, you correct. I met a man who said, fail fast and move forward. And I thought, geez, what an interesting conversation. I've never been with women. Women are so, sometimes we were taught not to make mistakes, and that's unfortunate. So the mavericks among us are each other, right? And really just you have to. We are at a point, there are so many crises that we are dealing with, whether it's public health, income inequality, political representation. I mean, I love seeing Stacey Abrams just call it out, right? There is more work to do in Georgia, but she's got everybody paying attention to Georgia. It's a wonderful thing.
You have a way of helping us reflect and really bringing this call to action. And in doing so, you also remind us to take care of ourselves. And I will never forget sitting across the table from you one day, and you grabbed my hands and you looked at me and you said, "Comadre, breathe with me." And just those moments of mindfulness with you around how you literally change conversations and the movements that you've created around that. I'd like you to help us reflect on some ways that we could, as equity and champions, really think about how we take care of ourselves as we take care of others. What are some most promising practices that you think we should take hold of as female leaders?
You know, I am a learner when it comes to self-care and understanding that our best self is our whole self. So when we are exhausted, when we are beaten down, where we are filled with anger and frustration and fear, that is not our best self. So I just want to remind so many women that you matter and you must, in service of others, take care of yourself. So, you know, sleep cannot be underestimated. Drinking water, taking the 30-minute walk, really understanding that you deserve it and it will help you go your next mile. I really hope that women give themselves the same kind of consideration they would give their male colleague or superior. Because sometimes the and, I mean, the world needs to see our full self. So if you have to take the call because the doctor's calling and you don't, life integration is that way. It's not life separation, or even I'm okay with balance as long as it is not a place to hide, right? I think sometimes we have to remember to be honest and courageous with yourself means being clear about what you want to do. What are you owning and doing? You can't do other people's agenda. You can, but that is not your agenda, right? When I think about being in service of others, it has to be really clearly understanding what you are choosing to do for yourself and in the service of others. So I am a believer in just wellness, schedule joy in your day, surround yourself with the people who feed your soul. And remember, you must be your biggest cheerleader and your biggest critic so that you are clear about the you are building. It is not the noise on the outside. And is I love one of the things I picked up from Oprah is the please disease, right? Not allow yourself to get wrapped up in the please disease of the gender imbalance. I think your authentic self. So self-care to me is growing and nurturing the authentic you that is being called on to lead and love and serve at the next level.
You are a powerful lady, and I've got like 3 tweets that I've got to send out just out of that little blurb right there. It's so amazing, so powerful. Now we're going to move to a little game of insights that we play with our guests. We're going to give you some sentence starters and ask you to complete the sentence. So here's the first one. An event that changed my worldview.
You know, I had a 0.045 GPA my first semester at UC Berkeley, and it changed my worldview on what happens when life falls apart. And what happens when you have academic mastery and can recover, and when you don't?
And there's no doubt how strong you are, but provide even some more insight by sharing an answer to this one. I became a stronger person after.
I became a stronger person after I had to dance Candy Duck on the stage when I was 3 years old in this crazy tutu. And the dance professor just told my mom, hey, hang back. She's in uncomfortable ways is something I learned really young.
Oh, that's awesome. And it's good to learn those lessons when you're young too. Okay, here's another one.
My life improved when I learned fear was a liar. And it was important to crystallize Monica's dreams, desires, and goals. What was I willing to own in my path forward?
Well, this path forward has just been so incredibly powerful, I think, for each and every one of us. And I know that I've learned even more from this conversation, even though I've known you as an educator for many, many years and been proud to serve. I'm going to stay alongside you and with you as your local superintendent and chief academic officer. And each time you share stories, my mind just continues to expand. But most importantly, my heart continues to expand with the ways that you connect and the ways that you have these just powerful insights for us. And I'm wondering, Keisha, what are some things that you're learning from this conversation?
Oh my goodness. I'm learning how fabulous Monica is. But I think that, you know, one thing that is kind of resonating in my mind is how incredible, Monica, your family is. And the family that you were born into and the family that you have built, and how just what a support system they've been, an encouragement system and a growth system for you. And I guess, you know, I'm also reflecting on the ladies out there, the young women out there that don't have that kind of family support. And the inspiration that you are and that you're building through the A through G program and so many other, you know, works that your hands are in to create that kind of support system for young ladies and women who don't necessarily have what you had. So I'm going to turn to you now, Monica, and ask, do you have any final thoughts that you would like to share with our audience? Perhaps on young girls sitting in middle school classrooms right now today.
You know, I do. I just want them to know that they are invited into success. My mom was kind of a foster kid because she was raised by her aunt. But I love that you said that I create family, I create community. And ladies, that is a self-help system for Monica. So Dr. G and I, yeah, we saw tragedy. Like, it's hard. Just because we won't see it doesn't mean it doesn't happen. But because we can hold hands together and say, I believe in you, Frances. And I have Monica as a partner in that leadership. And today I met Keisha, and we will be in the neighborhood of Comadres in making tomorrow happen. And so I just hope that the girl, whatever your circumstances, life is up and down. And the constant is you and your attitude, your heart, your mind, and your tomorrow. That is the constant. So love is available however it shows up. You know, inside my family, there's a lot of differences. Not everybody sees Monica's lens, but I honor them, I respect them. And yes, to me, there's strength. There is strength in all of us, the wins and the hard stuff or the tough stuff or those stumbles. But I just want all the girls to know the universe has meant them to be exactly how they are. And tomorrow is defined by whatever you choose. I hope you invest in you. I really, really do.
Well, there's no doubt that our universe of listeners, actually, I should say our family, is joining us today feeling more inspired and more committed and ready to take on this education agenda if they haven't already. And so as we think about what we've learned today, we always want to leave our fierce listeners with a coaching question, something that they'll take away. And so the question that we'd like to have our listeners, our family, continue with is, How might you be an equity champion with 100% mindset of all means all? I'll say that again. How might you be an equity champion with a 100% mindset of all means all? Inspired by our own Monica Garcia.
Absolutely. And I'm sure Monica's going to be checking our Twitter to see how our listeners are responding to that coaching question too. We can't thank you enough for joining us today and spending a little bit of time with us, sharing your wisdom and your story. We're forever grateful.
Well, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you. And again, we want you to know how much we appreciate you and appreciate these fierce listeners leading with your message of courage, determination, and of course, championing.
Absolutely. So for our listeners, don't forget to join us on our next podcast where we're going to highlight another Shero in education. And please follow our hashtag, TL Honor Roll, R-O-L-E. And then you'll be able to post your coaching answers there and follow all the other listeners to our podcast. And until then,
be fierce
and be formidable.
The Tech and Learning's Honor Roll podcast is produced by Keisha Ray, Francis Gibson, and Christine Weiser. Audio production by Mitchell Tulin and AV Nation. Tech and Learning's Honor Roll theme music is by Madison Van Gundy. Find more episodes on techlearning.com and follow us at #TL Honor Roll. That's TL Honor, R-O-L-E.